everyone, to the So Legal podcast. What we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is speaking to some people in our local community here in Eastbourne, probably in Brighton and Hove, maybe some London people, Uckfield people, people of note and of interest. So our first esteemed guest today is Emma Davey. But first of all, let me introduce Kent Reynolds.
Hi.
So Kent is a man of few words, as you can hear, but he is a litigation specialist here at So Legal. My name's Adrian Samuel, and we're speaking to Emma. So Emma, who are you? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, so I'm Emma Davey and I'm a director at the Alexander Faulkner Partnership. We are a property management company based, or our head office is based in Fareham in Hampshire, and then we have two other satellite offices here in Eastbourne and one in Surrey. And we manage about 4,200 units at Swiss Peak.
Where do you live? Are you local?
Yes, I live up in Battle. I'm the local.
Nice place, been there a long time?
No.
Okay, new place.
New place, yes. I was Surrey born and bred, and I moved down here last year.
Fantastic.
And So Legal did my
conveyancing. Oh,
there you
good.
Go.
And a great job.
And a great job.
So, what do you actually do?
So what do we do? So we look after the estates and blocks of flats that are either owned by a client or an organisation or a resident management company. Which can become quite involved. Sometimes they just tick along and run themselves, and other times you're heavily entrenched in dealing with problems, both with the building and with the occupiers.
Right, so what kind of problems? Give us an example of something that might be problematic.
Well, yes, we go from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah.
So on an estate, the regular problems are parking. Someone's parking in the wrong place.
That drives us all mad, right?
Drives everybody mad. And that would then range from, I don't like the way the gardener cuts the stripes on the lawn, to the kids playing football, to all sorts of things that generally don't actually relate to the estate itself. And most of it is down to people that just don't seem to understand what it's like living in a community, where you have to be respectful to everybody else and don't go and kick your footballs up against the side of the fence and parking considerately. But with the blocks of flats, that's a little more involved. So we are responsible for the upkeep and maintenance of the building and the grounds that come with it. So it's all quite involved, and that can be from ensuring compliance of the building to make sure they're safe, secure and watertight, to placing the insurance and dealing with insurance claims, disputes and upholding the covenant.
So you have to be quite conciliatory and have a smile on your face.
Yes.
A lot of the time, which you've got now. Kent's got a vague smile on his face. Kent, fire a question at Emma that's going to be of interest to listeners.
Okay. Well, Emma, one of the items listeners may be interested in knowing about are the various options they have with regards to their flat. So, for example, do they extend their lease? Do they consider purchasing the freehold? Do they consider a right to manage company? Could you tell us in what circumstances you would recommend one option over the other?
Yes, definitely. So there are several options that are not one size fits all, should they say. So we've got properties at the moment that are going through the enfranchisement route for various reasons, and also buildings that are going through the right to manage. The right to manage is probably the easiest one to explain, because as a group of leaseholders, you do not have to, there doesn't have to be a blame culture for something going wrong to invoke the right to manage. It is your right to do so. But generally, in my experience of too many years...
How many years?
More than 25 now, which
Goodness
is awful.
Me. You don't look old enough.
Thank you. I'll come again. the reason why people tend to go for the right to manage is that their landlords are often absent, so the building is run down, or the landlords and managing agents are imposing really high service charges which aren't commensurate with the style of the property or the number of units that are there, and it gives them the right to take control, and it takes control away from the landlord, and generally they will appoint a managing agent to manage for them. And the only right right the landlord will then have is to collect ground rent if there is any to collect. So it takes him or her out of the equation, which means the leaseholders then form a company like an RMC and then can manage the company to the best of their ability, but they have to manage it in accordance with the lease terms. They yeah. can't get away with saying we're going to slash service charges and stop paying for certain things. It doesn't work that way. So if people want to go right to manage, I have in the past had people want to do it because they wanted to save money, but they weren't actually paying a lot for their service charge in the first place. So I've had to say it wouldn't work. So they went off to somebody else. So if you want to, basically the right to manage is there for people that have got a poorly maintained building and want to improve it, and that's the best option for them. But there are some instances where I've got a property at the moment where they're going through the enfranchisement route or considering doing it, and they're partway down the line, but they also need lease extensions because they're at the tipping point of less than 80 years left to run on their lease. However, do they go for enfranchisement or do they all go for lease extensions? And all the leases were signed around about the same time, within sort of a few months of each other. So it's everyone either goes for enfranchisement or they extend their lease, and the cost of which is about the same. So they are umming and ahhing at the moment as to what they're going to do. I think they will probably go down the enfranchisement route because one of the freeholder actually owns some of the properties there anyway, and she would like to sell it. So that, you know, we've got a willing seller and a willing buyer. We've just got to get in the number of people need to be correct before we can actually proceed down this route. And we need at least 50% of the properties to actually agree right. to do this, because they have to pay a premium for buying the freehold. So again, they pay a premium for the lease extension and a premium for the freehold. So it's whether or not which one is the cheapest, and I think they're going to be about thereabouts the same. Then we've got others that want to buy the freehold just because they want to remove the freeholder or the current freeholder from the equation altogether. And we've got one property going through that at the moment where they don't pay ground rent, so the ground rent is peppercorn. So they're not actually in a financially better position by doing so. They just want to ensure that they have control for the future, so they're planning ahead and many, many, many years ahead. But it's something that they all wanted to do when they first bought the properties. So that's just ticking along quite nicely. We're at the negotiation stage at the moment. So there are various reasons why people want to go down the different routes. We would always suggest to people that the RTM route is a great option. It's your right, but if your landlord is somebody that you're happy to negotiate with and is in agreement, and you write to them and say, we are unhappy with the current situation and we would like to appoint a new managing agent, and they agree, then you don't have to go through all the legal rigmarole of having to go through a right to manage company where you become liable for everything as if you were the freeholder. And that's quite important. So we always advise people to see whether or not freehold wishes to be amenable to changing before going down the right to manage route first.
And is that a route that you would explore if it hasn't already been explored?
Yeah, we would always say to somebody, have you spoken to the freeholder?
Yeah.
What, you know, do you have a relationship with them, yes or no? And Kent and I are negotiating at the moment with two particular properties. One's actually successfully come back this morning and said the client is happy to transfer the management.
Great.
Unfortunately, that means there's no fees coming either way, but it means my clients are then happy and the management comes straight back to me.
Yeah.
The other one, we're still looking at carrying up the right to manage company for them. So we're just proceeding with that, and hopefully that will come across to us in about 4 months' time.
Great. Yeah, so, just before you jump in there, you mentioned peppercorn.
Yes.
Peppercorn rents. Where did the peppercorn rent come from? Do we know why? Do you know the answer to that?
Absolutely no idea.
Do you know?
I don't think I do, but I think it's related to just being a nominal value.
I think listeners might be able to let us know about this, but I think it came from, because herbs and spices were always really valued things, weren't they? And I think peppercorns were one of the imported items of genuine value. So a peppercorn rent, and I'm thinking off the top of my head here now, someone will Google it,
yeah.
But I think peppercorns used to be quite a valuable commodity. And actually, if you go to Sainsbury's, they still cost an awful lot of money in supermarkets. But I think, so the idea now is it's a very low value, but I think historically it was quite a valuable commodity.
That's right, yeah. The advantages of enfranchisement is that then once you're part of the freeholders, you can then change the ground rent to peppercorn rent, which is obviously going to be a lot less than what sometimes we see with leases.
Yeah, and there's other benefits to enfranchising as well and becoming a share of freehold. As Kent said, you lose the ground rent because you grant yourself a new lease for an extended term. But also you have more control.
Yeah.
And also it puts more value on your property if you're a share of freehold. And for some people that's really important. And I think it does historically just raise the threshold of your value of your flat enough to make it more sellable.
What's the hardest bit of your job then, would you say?
Dealing with conflict, I would say, and people that don't want to accept the advice that's given. I would say that's probably the toughest part. Years ago when, in fact, it was we were having a big drive on making sure our fire risk assessments were up to date. They always were, but we were always very hot on making sure, you know, the deadline was coming up, we needed to renew. And we had an RMC director that decided that he didn't quite fancy having his fire risk assessment renewed, didn't see the point in it all. Then Grenfell happened, and I called him the following day and said, you're going to have your fire risk assessment done now. And he begrudgingly agreed. And I find that was really hard because of the implications, and they just didn't see the need or the logic, because they were only a small block, they weren't a tower block, and I said it didn't make any difference.
Actually, as the Grenfell thing, it's an important thing. Has the Grenfell thing made much difference to how people, perceive their own safety and the safety of others in block management issues?
I think it depends on the block, and it depends on the clients, and it depends how proactive they are. So I've got one block who went over and above the recommendations from the fire risk assessment because they felt the need that they wanted to. So that was great for them, and others that and struggled to comprehend the fact that they actually want to take it forward and actually comply with the law.
Yeah.
And others that say, well, why do we have to have a fire alarm installed? And I say, because
well, it's obvious.
It is obvious, but not to some. And, you know, A, it's the law, and B, you've got to keep your residents safe.
So. Well, yeah, and if someone dies in a fire, then you're going to prison, aren't you?
Exactly.
If there's neglect or fault on your behalf, then that's where you're going, isn't it?
Yeah, and generally what we do is if we don't have a willing client that doesn't want to comply with legislation, then we terminate the management agreement, because whilst the buck stops with the client itself, actually is the appointed person, it stops with me as well.
And
I'm not going to prison for anybody. So I do make that quite clear, and we terminate management, and we have done in the past.
Ken, talk.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not an advantage to manage your own property where you have deadlock between shareholders in dispute. Do you have any horror stories along those lines that you may have come across?
Oh, yes, we have had some horror stories in the past. There is an incident at the moment going on where a development of 30 freehold units have a board of directors that are managing quite nicely, and a decision was made to tender the gardening contract, and that caused absolute carnage with the rest of the residents. And it just simply was a tendering exercise. They were unhappy with the current gardener. There was no suggestion that they would definitely get rid, but they just wanted to see what else was out there. And having to deal with the outfall of that has been challenging, should we say. Mm-hmm. But in terms of horror stories, yes, I mean, historic neglect is probably the worst one. I seem to have an attraction for taking on the most run-down properties, where leaseholders are suing their freeholders for historic neglect. And that is quite difficult, because in some ways you understand why they're doing it, but if they don't pay their service charges, you can't fix the building. And then if the freeholder is at deadlock with the leaseholders, that becomes even more difficult. And it can take years and years.
So
and years.
When you say historic, I mean going back how far? I mean, what
10 years.
Really? Okay.
Plus, in some instances, more than. And I think people don't realise that when they buy a brand new block of flats, particularly when brand new block of flats, it gets to about 5 years old and you start thinking about doing the internal redecorations, and then the residents say, oh, don't be ridiculous, this is still a new place to live in. Yeah. And I said, well, you try to explain to them that if you don't redecorate now and you leave it any longer, A, you're in breach of the lease anyway, but B, it's going to cost you more money because there's going to be more damage done to the walls, and it won't look as nice, and then your asset value will drop. And so it's really, it's my job to maintain asset value, compliance, and the covenants, and keeping the directors out of prison. Yeah. That's my single biggest job, I reckon, is keeping the directors out of prison, making sure they know what their roles and responsibilities are.
And of course, in places like seaside towns like Eastbourne, deterioration of buildings, certainly from an exterior perspective, can go very quick in a couple of years, can't it? I mean, you can see it with the hotels on the seafront, you know, the investments they have to make in redecorating every couple of years there. You know, the salt is massively destructive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you've got a southwest facing wall, I suppose that probably gets the worst of the weather.
Yes, absolutely. Unless they've got reserve funds, and in this climate, a lot of properties don't have enough in their reserve fund to cover Section 20 works and major works, it becomes difficult again, because you then have to send out an invoice for their proportion of the work, which is often several thousand pounds, if not more.
Yeah, that's never well received,
and
right?
It's never well received, and then people struggle to find the money, so you're forcing
Nobody
people
likes
out
paying.
Of properties, or having to remortgage, and it becomes very difficult, so I find that the balance is to work with the residents right from day one and say, look, you know, if you want to maintain your building, this is how much you actually need to put in the pot to do it. And keep them informed on what's going on and why it's costing. And it's all about being transparent.
I think that's really important, actually, because a lot of people, they just hate paying the service charge. But if they can have it explained to them that it's not just a levy on the premium of their owning a lease, there's actually a reason for it. Then
it's about value, showing value for money. And I think often managing agents don't necessarily explain it in a way that the recipient understands. I say communication, residence meetings, actually talking to them face-to-face, not hiding behind a desk, is how I prefer to do it.
So what have you been doing? Because you've done work together, you two, Kent. And,
we have.
Doing a few right-to-manage jobs at the moment.
Yes, and unfortunately the worst part of the job, which is the debt recovery.
Yep.
And Kent has the pleasure of serving the notices on the leaseholders that default when we can't get any money out of them.
Okay. And why would people use you above anybody else?
My style of management. Like the fact that I'm proactive and I actually go and visit them and I see the sites and I take an interest in their buildings, and I want to make sure their buildings are well maintained. I don't just fly in, fly out and just go, oh, well, never mind kind of thing. You know, I look after their building as if it was my own home, which is why a lot of my clients have stuck with me and moved around companies with me over the years.
Great. So what's your favourite book? Nothing to do with anything else.
I know. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea.
How to manage properties.
No. More God, my landlord and tenant books are well and truly up in the loft now. Probably out of date by several years.
You must have a favourite. All right, favourite film. How about that? Can you do that?
Love Actually.
Oh, okay. Well, it's everyone's favourite.
There you go. Everybody's favourite film.
Really, really good. Thank you for coming and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that's been interesting to listeners.
I hope so.
Anything else you need to ask him?
No, I think that covered pretty much
everything. Thank you. We'll be back again with another one of our guests. We've got a few lined up, as I said at the beginning, but it's been great to have you along.
Thank you for being
so relaxed and charming. Hopefully we've been similarly
Absolutely.
Relaxed and charming.
Yeah.
And you've enjoyed being with us. Thanks so much. Thank you, Kent.
Thank you.
And thanks to Sebastian for doing the recording. He's over there. Wave. That's really good for podcasting. Anyway, okay. Well, the less we say about your shirt, the better. See you all next time. Thanks for listening.
Hello, you lovely people. Just to note that this is a podcast and does not constitute legal advice. Should you require any specific legal advice based on anything, then please contact your solicitor, or even better, us, and we can advise you fully.